This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week on Pop Gaze,
we talk to Willy Wonka Glasgow Experience,
Kate Middleton Theories,
and Oprah's Banishment.
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers!
Welcome to the Willy Wonka Melbourne Experience.
It's the unknown. I'm actually so surprised that it hasn't popped up yet. Like, that would be such a good opportunity for someone with like a pop-up space to be like,
yes,
Willy Wonka Experience Melbourne.
Yes. It's so funny because it reminds me of, there was like a weird like lolly pop-up in Collingwood for a while. Do you remember that?
I went to that.
I went to it as well.
I paid money to like jump into a ball pit. And what else was there? Like giant lollies.
Was that at the candy shop?
It was called like a candy thing, but there was like not much lollies. Like it was all Instagram opportunities.
It was all for Instagram, and I went to take photos for like a show promo for Comedy Fest.
Oh, I think smart.
Yeah. Was this like 2019?
Something like that.
I did the same
pre-pandemic
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we're fucking suckers for the lollipop experience.
Exactly. The lollipop guild.
I loved it. And I felt like, I was like, this is not hard to achieve. When I was there, yeah, I was like, smart. They got us. They got me.
All I need is a quarter cup of lemonade and I'm good, baby.
I am good. But then this Glasgow experience, did you know how much the tickets cost?
Yes, £35.
Yeah, it like equates to like 70 plus.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to take your children as well, because imagine you have like, you're going because you have a couple of kids, $35 a pop. That's like, if we're in a cost of living crisis and then your kids are crying.
the videos of like them being like introduced to the unknown and then the kids are crying, and then like there's shots of like the parents like arguing with the like event runners, and they're having this like very Scottish argument out the front, and it's just so,
it's like an added layer of hilarity that it's Scottish people.
I know.
Like, it's so funny because like Scottish rage is just so beautiful.
It's
to
awesome.
Bear witness to.
And did you see that the actors that have played the Oompa Loompa and the unknown, they got like on like Good Morning Britain and other like morning chat shows about their experience?
I did not see those interviews. How were they?
It's like they've become overnight sensations, but like they have no idea how to handle it.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine they're like the equivalent of like a BCA dropout slash recent grad, just trying to like get through.
Oh my goodness. The Oompa Loompa girl was like, I saw that I was gonna get £500 for 2 days work, and I was like, all right, whatever. And I was like, this is so
relatable.
Yeah. I once dressed up as a bug and like ran around the CBD.
Oh my god, how much did you get paid?
Not enough. Not enough.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm pretty sure I forgot to invoice.
Oh yeah. My god.
I dressed as an Elizabethan woman. They needed, for some reason, they specifically wanted men in drag doing like Elizabethan stuff for like a gallery thing. It was
cool.
Like they had like these people just like walking around, and like we were all just in these like weird wigs, and everyone hated us. And like, it's just one of those things. It's like, you're doing it because it's like, it's a gig.
Yeah.
And it's money.
And I just love the idea that like, if one of those events from my life were to have been put on the world stage and then, you know, like the unknown was revealed as a woman and everyone was like, oh my God, female stories.
Like, I didn't know. And that's my like unconscious bias. I assumed that was a man.
Yeah. You see a primordial spirit and you're like, must be a man.
That's he, him for sure.
I mean, there are so many events like that in Melbourne as well. Like,
yeah.
I went to this Beauty and the Beast experience, which was a PR invite. I posted about it on my close friends. This was like 2 years ago. And it had the makings of the Willy Wonka experience. They were like, you'll make a delicious cocktail yourself. And it was literally, they measured out red cups with like lemonade and then gave you like a little shot of vodka and you mixed it together. And then you were supposed to like spray these essences onto it to make it into a cocktail. But it literally smelled like Victoria's Secret's perfume.
Oh my God.
And tasted disgusting. And all of the actors put up this French accent, which is very funny. And then they were like, and now we're doing a treasure hunt. And a treasure hunt literally looked like a 10-year-old had thought it out.
Yeah.
And Tamara like found the crown and was crowned as like the queen. Oh, and I was like, the beast was not beasting.
Yeah.
He looked so like just regular. And then he like got dressed to like transform. It was such a flop event. And then they were like emailing the next day, thank you so much for coming. Feel free to leave a review.
Yes. What was it for?
It was like people were paying money to have this Beauty and the Beast experience and have cocktails in an enchanted place.
Oh my God.
And on Instagram, it looked amazing.
Of course.
But in real life, oh my God. And here was the thing. It was at this venue that when we left, there was this like partition and behind the partition was a group of friends just playing mahjong. And they were literally in the same space as us with a flimsy like wooden partition between us. And I was like, I wish I'd been playing with them because that looked so much more fun.
Oh my God. Aurelia, it's you so truly funny. Experienced the OG.
The OG.
Willy Wonka experience.
And I think you really encapsulated that need where people just want to have a cocktail in an enchanted place.
Yeah. Like people just want to like enter a fridge door and go into a bar.
Yes. You know? Well, I think it's so funny how easy it is to scam. Like these scams, I have like nothing but respect for
the grift. It's wonderful. Plus also, in a sense, they gave them the truest Willy Wonka experience, because what's more Willy Wonka than going to a factory and having like basic child abuse and like you know, leaving worse off than you entered. Like that is what happened for 4 out of 5 of those kids in the original story.
Exactly. And you're getting the real experience. You're just seeing it not Willy Wonka at his prime, but Willy Wonka in liquidation.
You know, and what the cost of living crisis.
The factory high ceilings were too much.
Oh my god. And the AI generated promotions.
Oh my god.
Spelling mistakes.
It's so funny. When you see like the picture of like the table, how they would just have like truly a trestle table in the middle of like the largest room I've ever seen.
I know.
Yeah, like the room could not have looked any bigger.
And it also like shows you how exhausted parents must be to like see that promotion and not realize any of the red flags and just be like, I need a weekend with these kids in a factory where they can play.
Yeah.
I don't care if it says pasadize.
Yeah.
You know what I reckon it was? I reckon it's dad's weekend. Like there would have been heaps of dad's weekends there. Mm-hmm. They haven't read the promo at all. They're just rocking up. They got 2 days of custody. Let's fucking go.
You're so right as well about the size of the venue. I feel like that's like one of the like piece de resistance of this whole thing is the scale of that room. It's giving me flashbacks to the first year that they had Drag Expo in Australia.
Oh, true.
And I went because DragCon in the US is huge and like they all have like these amazing like expensive booths and heaps of people go and it's like a genuine like 3 or 4 day sort of experience. And they were like, it's coming down under, it's going to be huge. But this was like maybe 2018, I would say. And they had it down at Flemington. So it was like in a huge space, like in the exhibition buildings.
Mm.
And it just, there was not enough to fill that space.
Oh.
And it was so cringely embarrassing.
Oh, no.
And like, I just remember like Queen's like Charlie Hyde's walking around who had clearly been promised some big drag con equivalent that were not getting that experience. And so, like, short of, like, having people come to their booths, which were just empty, they were just walking around to people being like, hi, do you want to meet me? Like,
oh, my God. That is just heartbreaking.
I know. And so I actually met so many of the queens that were there. I think I met everyone there was to meet because there was just no one there.
I mean, this is kind of similar to what's happening at the moment with the Jonas Brothers concert.
Oh, have you seen?
So when the tickets were first released, like a few diehards on my like stories were like, oh my God, just got tickets. And I was like, good for you. But like, I literally don't know any.
Who cares?
Like,
I'm so sorry.
Sorry to these men.
Sorry. Also, like, why would you be in a band with your brothers? You could never like have a family feud.
Absolutely not.
And now they're giving away free tickets to the Jonas Brothers concert because they booked these massive arenas.
Is it Rod Laver? Where are they?
Yeah, they're in Rod Laver.
Yeah, oh, literally. Bless. And when you go to the ticketing website,
they need to be at like North Melbourne Town Hall. Like.
For real. They need to be at Stupid Old Studios.
Yeah, shout out. Come here, boys. We'd love to have you on.
And you could just get a free ticket.
I also, do you think that this Jonas Brothers tour might have gone better for them if Joe and Soph had not divorced?
Absolutely. And also if it wasn't coming off the back of Taylor just being here.
Yes.
Recently, it's the same crew. It's the just, same people
yeah,
who would go.
Everyone is broke from having spent all their disposable
all their, like,
income.
Disney adults.
Yeah.
The maths ain't mathin'. Like,
oh. Yeah. I am so sorry that happened to them, but also that's what you get for fucking over Sophie Turner.
Yes. Mm. And also I love a humbling celebrity experience. I genuinely thought the Jonas Brothers had disbanded. Like, I didn't know that they were still a thing. Like, wasn't that the whole story? Is that Joe has gone off and, like, Nick is the hottie and, like...
Yeah, there was a little bit of, like, a fallout between the brothers.
Yeah.
But I think... I guess they need money for that divorce and custody.
I'd love to
battle.
Go, to be honest. I think it'd be a very fun, stupid concert.
I would go. I said, I was like, I would go if I could go for free. And I know that if you, there was a period of time where if you logged on to the Ticketek website, you could just book a comp.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We should go, guys.
Just don't know. Like, it's so funny. I've just said that and
I'm
still
so
like,
busy that day.
I'm like, of all the stuff that I could be doing, I think that I would get to the Jonas Brothers, they would start, and I would immediately think, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Do you know when
you have dreams where you've decided to go back to high school?
Oh, God.
And you're like, what am I doing?
Nightmare.
I'm 30 years old.
I've been having so many of them lately, but specifically about being in a play in high school. Oh. It's like me, I'm about to go on stage and I'm backstage and I've like forgotten my lines or I'm in the wrong costume.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. For some reason, that's like the big theme of my dreams at the moment.
Oh, it's so stressful. I don't know what that means. If you're chewing teeth, it means that you're stressed.
And it's like wealth or something. I feel like, Aurelia, you're pretty good with like dream analysis. Like, I'll take your word.
Okay, if you're dreaming about going back to high school, that means big money coming your way.
Thank you. I'll take it.
Yeah. That's perfect.
That's legally binding.
Yeah, I actually love that for
literally,
me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would be mad if I were like, justice for Kevin Jonas. He is the only one who committed to that ring that they all got. Their little virgin
like
ring.
Purity ring.
Their purity ring.
You meant like a predator ring or something.
Oh my god,
my god.
Drug ring.
He committed to the predator ring. Predator ring.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, aren't they Mormon? Are they Mormon?
No, I think they're just Christian.
Jesuit.
Yeah. Yeah, like something. Baptist, some fucking weird shit. But they all had these rings, these like purity rings.
Chastity.
Yeah.
Chastity bells.
Yeah.
Their dicks were in cages and everything.
Yeah, you should see the cages. They are really big. But I he got married with a purity ring. He saved himself till marriage. And then Nick and Joe were like, sorry, we are absolutely knee deep.
Yeah.
Although isn't
all that camp rock pussy, like it was hard to fend it off.
Oh my
it's
God.
True. It's true. It is rumored that, and this is a rumor legally.
Allegedly. Alleged
that Nick Jonas may not be 100% straight. Have you heard this
Wait, Nick
rumor?
Jonas?
Which one's that?
Nick is the one with the curly hair.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't blame him.
You guys are all racking your brains as if you're like, well, did he tell me that?
Yeah.
The way you just responded.
Like, when I slept with him, he didn't really mention that. I feel like Joe would be the gayest if any of them had to be gay, I could see it for Joe.
Joe's the gayest, but maybe Nick is a homosexual.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it has something to do with sexuality.
Yeah, yeah. Things that are gay that aren't gay.
Yeah. The vibes are off. Yeah.
But that could be slander.
Well, if you think someone being gay is slander, then...
And I do.
That's homophobic, actually. Uncancelled.
It could be that completely untrue. I don't even know where I got that from. I think it's simply because Nick Jonas is in some Ryan Murphy shows.
Yeah, true.
So
it's the sort of Darren Criss effect.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's straight.
He's kind of like, I saw Natasha Lyonne said this week that she feels like she's the Stanley Tucci of lesbians.
Yeah.
And that she should be gay, but she's not.
Yeah.
I was so shocked to find out. And she's with some other actor. What's his name?
Yeah. She was with one of the guys from SNL who's also in Portlandia. I always forget his fucking name. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, they're such a good match because they're both so weird.
And I think I saw an interview with her saying that they broke up, and like part of the reason that they broke up was because they just couldn't decide if they wanted a pool or not. And then they were like, let's break up.
Oh my God. Those are such 1% problems.
I know. But I'm like, what? It's so funny.
Because you'll be shocked.
Unless it's what's his name? The guy that's dating everybody. Ariana's ex.
No, oh my God. It's not Pete Davidson.
Fred Armisen.
Yes. Yeah. Him.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't see that.
They were together for ages. You know,
but also he seems gay too. Sorry. Can I see him again?
He seems like 30 years her senior.
Yeah. That's her teacher.
Married. I can't believe I keep bringing up people and not remembering their names. He married Handmaid's Tale.
Margaret Atwood?
The lead.
I don't know these people. Fred. I don't consume myself with straight marriages. I just don't have an interest.
Yeah, that's fair.
Elizabeth Moss.
Oh,
so they were married for a really brief stint. Like they got together and then they got engaged, and he was like a fair few years her senior, but he's kind of always looked the same age. Like a part of me is like, maybe he just always looked old,
like,
and
Benjamin
now
Button
he kind of looks young because he just doesn't age.
Yeah.
But they,
I mean, if you look like a raisin,
yeah,
then you're going to always be, people are like, wow,
you're always going to be a raisin.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got married and then they got divorced, and it was weird and like weird vibes. Cause I remember reading Tina Fey's book saying that Fred Armisen and Elizabeth Moss were together, and I was like, that's a fucking weird match.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with like the inbreeding of the actor comic community in the States. Yeah,
everyone is like dating each other.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's beautiful.
Thank God for chuckle fuckers, because where would we be?
Well, they're not fucking me. Although someone left their number for me after a gig once.
What?
I haven't told anyone this because it was
embarrassing. Breaking news.
I was performing at Comedy Republic. I was hosting and I remember I had
Oh my
God,
was this the sex app event?
No. No one hit me up at the sex app event.
Oh my God.
Supposed to be horny as. Literally never happened to me before. And I always say never been hit on during or after comedy, blah, blah, blah. Just because the amount of straight men I know who, with respect, I'm not even talking about their appearance. I'm saying their material is like disgusting. Like very funny.
Yeah.
But nothing about it to me personally is like, ooh.
Yeah.
What's he got to offer? And they will get numbers, numbers and numbers and numbers. Somebody left their thing behind and said, hey, cutie, enjoyed your show tonight. And you're hella cute. Here's my number.
Oh my God.
In Melbourne, on and off all the time. Text me.
Love.
Oh my God.
Did you feel funny on cloud nine?
I was a bit like, but I was also like, it was at one of those nights where I had like put in like effort in the way that I look, and I was like, well, this isn't gonna
can I ask, was this a he, him, a she, her, or a they, them?
We've got no idea.
Oh.
And the spelling, don't want to say their name out loud because it might be embarrassing, but like it's one of those names, it's a shortened version of a feminine and a masculine name, and feels like
it's trans mask.
It's like Sam, Alex,
that sort of vibe.
And it's giving, it's dropped off a letter at the end that should be there that gives a little sort of gender fluid vibe.
Yeah.
So I
also
think,
like, men don't write notes like that.
No.
Yeah. Also, men are intimidated by a funny woman.
Absolutely.
That's the tea.
That's like, it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when women are hilarious, some of the straight men that I have seen react to that, it's like they're immediately threatened.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Yeah. Speaking of Margaret Atwood, she's the one who said that thing that was like, men are afraid of women because they don't want to be, they're worried that women are going to laugh at them. Women are scared of men because they're worried that men are going to murder them. It's
like, well, the stakes are a little bit different.
I might laugh at you. Yes. You might fucking kill me.
Yeah. Did you guys see this week that Rebecca Ferguson, who's in the Dune movies, has said that one of her co-stars, and she said it was like a top billing co-star as well, screamed at her on set and made her really uncomfortable, and she had to like tell like the director that
was it Austin Butler?
We don't know who it is at this point, but people are trying to figure it out.
I saw a few predictions online because it was I don't think it was from Dune. I think it was from a previous movie, and people are guessing Hugh, oh my, what is wrong with me today? I can't remember anyone's fucking
Jackman
name.
Jackman Sheridan.
It was Hugh Sheridan.
No, it was Sheridan. Us screaming at Hugh Sheridan.
No, Hugh, not Hugh Laurie, the one from like Four Weddings and a Funeral from Notting Hill. Hugh
Grant.
Grant. Hugh Grant and a couple others.
Someone thought it
and up. Ewan McGregor.
Oh.
I can't say it for Ewan.
From your personal experience.
I don't want to believe it. I mean, I don't want to believe it for Hugh Grant either, but I can kind of imagine it for Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Like, he has, like, a short temper.
I feel the same way about Ewan McGregor. I read that comment and I was like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
With nothing to back it up.
I was like, not my Moulin Rouge, baby. Like,
oh, my God.
He would never.
Well, speaking of Dune, have you seen some of the, like, promo material for it?
I actually went to the opening screening.
Oh my God.
Did you get the popcorn bucket?
Yeah.
Did
you get the flashlight?
Well,
you see the Cinema Nova has a flashlight looking chalk top chocolate that is supposed to be sandworm, but it looks like an anus.
That is so funny.
What, Charlie, did you eat it?
Charlie.
I licked that shit up. No.
It's our new segment called Charlie, Did You Eat It?
Apparently, they only made like a very few of the actual like fleshlight popcorn bucket things.
And oh my God, the Vested Virgins.
Yeah. And so no one could get their hands on them. Like, they were very sought
out. Oh my God. They're probably on Shein as we speak.
Yeah.
I think I'd prefer, I don't know, something about fleshlights. It's just yucky to me. Like, I'm not gonna like slut shame anyone for fucking their popcorn bucket, but like, I don't know,
it's very salty.
Yeah,
it's
like dildos I get,
yeah,
but fleshlights, it's just seek therapy.
Yeah,
but I'm so sorry, but if I had a penis, I would 100% have a fleshlight. 100%. What?
It's just what? Like the cleanup.
I mean, I would just like,
they literally, people that use fleshlights, if they come in it, they have to like turn it inside out to get the cum out.
Well, and then put
like
it in a dishwasher.
No. Anyway, look, we have completely digressed from Dune.
I think we're getting right to the middle of it.
Yeah, I think this is like actually a part of the movie day.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't seen it.
It was great. I actually loved it.
Oh, good.
It's a really good movie. And it is all about like Timothy Chalamet becomes like the prime twink of the land because like the worms love him.
Oh, beautiful.
But then he sort of like colonizes the like indigenous people of this planet.
Oh.
Like, but the whole
sorry,
point.
That was so patronizing. That was the worst
naughty
reaction. Oh, come on. No, that's bad. That's bad.
It
Go
is
on.
Bad. And that's the point of this series, is that you're kind of watching like an anti-hero. Like, the whole point is that he sort of falls into this role and becomes warped by power.
Oh my God, like Hannah Horvath in Girls.
Yeah, it's like a Breaking Bad sort of thing, but people aren't realizing, like, the media literacy is truly dead because people are like, this movie is promoting colonization. And it's like, no, it's just showing colonization and like,
you're
trying
supposed to realize it's bad.
Yeah, you're meant to see him as someone who is like falling to the dark side.
And it's also like, if you empathize with a baddie, then maybe you can sort of have a little perspective on yourself. You know?
People don't know about that.
Yeah,
they
that's
don't know
true.
Perspective.
They don't know.
Sorry.
sorry.
But there is this very funny thing that's going on as well, because there's this, have you guys seen Dune 1?
No.
Parts of it.
Have you
been
seen
meaning to.
Have you at least seen online the thing of the big bald Baron.
What?
It's played by Stellan Skarsgård.
Oh, and he's cool.
Like, he's like one of the like lead villains in this universe. He's like called like the Baron, and he's like this like sociopath that runs one of the planets.
Is Stellan Skarsgård Daddy Skarsgård? He's the father of the from Skarsgård? Mamma Mia.
Yeah. That was my reference point.
Okay. Granddad.
But he plays this gluttonous, sort of Jabba the Hutt, vile, horrible guy. And he's constantly in this bath filled with this, like, glossy oil kind of thing.
Jealous.
And he's, like, sustained.
Wish I had a bathtub.
He lives such a glamorous life.
He's, like, a fleshlight.
Sustained by these, like, robotic things that are like keeping him alive, because he's like not meant to be alive. He's so unhealthy. And often when it cuts to scenes with him, he will have these like sex prisoners basically that are in his room, and it's like all these like women that he's like sadistically like murdering and raping and all this kind of stuff. And he's that kind of character. Anyway, there are people online who are talking about how the movies have eradicated his queerness. Because apparently in the books, he was also fucking twinks.
No! Like,
why have you taken away? Why have you straight washed this character? And it's like, I think we can allow this one character. You know what? I'm happy for him to not be a queer icon.
We don't need more queer villains. You know what I mean? In this context.
Also, a classic male move to be like, I need machines to keep me alive. I'm struggling to live, but yet I will still go ahead and torture and rape.
Yeah.
I still have the energy for that. That's fucked up, but also so funny that sometimes representation.
I know.
And they're probably trying to steer away from the queer villain trope, you know, like Gladiator and what's the other
any
one?
Any Disney movie, basically.
Any Disney movie. Braveheart 2.
Tiger King.
That's a queer villain.
Yeah, we just don't want any more queer villains on screen.
Yeah.
Or at least make them fun queer villains,
not like that.
Murderous sociopaths.
I don't like that. I've heard good things about Dune, but I've also heard this whole theory that Star Wars is a ripoff of Dune as well. Do you have much to comment on that, Charlie?
I definitely didn't understand it enough. Like, it's very dense. It's so... Before I watched it, I had to watch like a 5-minute YouTube, like, explain to me like I'm a 5-year-old.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So my understanding of the movies is very light on.
Yeah. That, I feel like that's like me with Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Like, it took me until like season 5 to be like, oh, Daenerys is the daughter of the Fire King. I had no idea. I was like, why is she so desperate to get the throne?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, to put it in perspective of how much like I was at like a nerd screening. And I was there because Josh is super into it. So I'm kind of going as a supportive partner.
Plus one.
Because it was at IMAX and I already have like problems with my ears. So I had industrial strength earplugs in.
Cool. How are your 30s?
Thriving.
Oh my God.
I'm alive thanks to a series of robotic things.
And my fleshlights.
Like, oil basin. Yes, and fleshlights. I had these like earplugs in and, you know, because I was like, I don't want IMAX to like fuck me up with its like earth shattering sound. You know? So when I was eating from my popcorn flesh bucket, I'm like hearing myself eat so loudly. Oh,
that's actually my biggest pet peeve.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I forgot towards the end of the film that I had these earplugs in. And so like when I was speaking, it was like a lot louder to everyone else. And there was this cameo. This is not a spoiler because it's just...
Jelly's there being like, there's a lot of sand!
There was a flash forward to the future and it's kind of like teasing possibly the next film in the franchise. But it's like Timothy Chalamet's character, like in like maybe like 20 years, his younger sister, who is like in utero at the moment.
Oh.
It's like her as an adult and it's Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh.
And when she came on screen, I was like, Anya Taylor-Joy! And all these people turned around like, shut the fuck up.
Oh my God.
I was like, I did not realize that I was like that audible. Like it was this like quite like moving, exciting reveal for all the like nerds who were super into it. And like they probably didn't know who she was.
Oh,
or like
so funny.
Oh my God.
You're like, I wonder if that was the guy at the Mitski concert. I don't know if you guys saw the clips of this, but like Mitski, who I am obsessed with, and I am proud to say I love people owning what they enjoyed before it became a TikTok sound, but I loved Mizuki for many, many years, and she's always been a little performance art freak. She wears knee pads. She's like, yes, doing the whole thing, and this is clips of it now because she's so popular with, I want to say, TikTok gays. And then, like, she's walking on stage, like, fully in it, fully immersed in whatever arty shit she's going to do. She's our generation's Kate Bush. There, I said it. And as she's, like, walking on the stage, someone's like, work it, hunty! And it's like, slay, Mizuki! And everyone around them is like, shut up.
Oh, my God.
What if they just had headphones in? They didn't know.
Yeah.
I thought everyone was cheering. It is funny. I saw some interviews with Stellan Skarsgård on the red carpet for Dune, and it's like people who are trying to get sound bites and stuff like that. Someone was like, what is your least favorite thing about being on set or whatever? And he goes, this sounds like a TikTok question. I will not answer it concisely. I cannot do that.
Yes. Oh, my like, God.
He's and so it, aloof.
He's so funny. But then the chick had like power to her. I thought it was so funny. She was like, you can just say yes or no. And he goes, oh, okay, no. And I think he was like genuinely like, I mean, he's probably a bit of a grump, but it felt like a funny moment where he was like, I don't want to do a short, quick answer. I cannot think like that. And then her just being like, I'm also here for work.
Yeah.
I saw an interview with him because I think he was in some Marvel movie with Natalie Portman and what's her name from the Muffin Show? One girl, two cups, one muffin.
What the hell? What is with us in this episode and like not knowing people's fucking names?
The muffin show?
Yes, it's like two girls selling at a muffin shop. Come on, someone is screaming.
Two broke girls. Yeah. It's a pie shop.
Two girls in a cup.
Come on.
Two girls in a cup.
I'm not a historian.
In a Stanley cup.
Yeah. Baker's Delight, whatever. Cat Deely, is it?
Cat
She's day. Like the goth
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her and Natalie Portman were in some Marvel movie with Stellan Skarsgård, and they had all these scenes with him. And he said that there was so much time where it was just the three of them having to, like, you know, wait between shoots and that kind of stuff in a car together. And that he's like, it was a real purview into, like, the female experience, because they spent the whole time just, like, talking and complaining about men. And he was like, I left that shoot feeling so, like, informed about women.
Oh, my God. What?
I kind of love that. I mean, the guy famously had three boys.
Yeah, like, oh, true.
Well, but wasn't he in Mamma Mia? Has he never met a woman?
Exactly.
How did he get these three children?
True.
This is true.
Although I feel like Mamma Mia was written by men who had never met a woman. It does give me that vibe.
I feel like I must have, like, searched something where now all I'm getting is Stellan Skarsgård, because I saw another interview with him talking about Mamma Mia, and he was like, in movies that are made by men for men, you know, the way that old school movies were is that they always had these like bimbo characters that weren't given much attention and they were just there to support the male lead. And he was like, for a while I was confused about my role in Mamma Mia, and then I realized we are the bimbos.
We have become.
Yeah. We're the bimbos. And then he was like, I was worried about not being able to sing or dance, but then I found out that Pierce Brosnan got cast and I was like, I'll be okay.
Yeah. It's like, if you can't see a bimbo, you are the bimbo.
Yeah.
Which I think is so perfect. I love him. I love that stuff.
I want to talk about something that's totally like no segue, which is Oprah Winfrey.
Yes.
Oh,
Oprah Winfrey has had her Weight Watchers contract cancelled.
She's been banished.
Due to taking Ozempic.
Ozempra.
It's no shock that she's taking Ozempic. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, like, it feels like everyone is on it in Hollywood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know, but it's just like she's been with this company for decades.
Yeah. She was on like their like council or something
like that. And she was like, the CEO.
They had like a meeting and they were like, Oprah, you're out.
God, I feel like there's so many great things that have been written about Oprah and like Oprah's weight loss and gain over the years, because it is just like, it was so talked about. She talked about it all the time, and it just became this like constant thing of like, oh, Oprah's losing weight again, or yeah. Oprah's gaining weight again. And it was just like this wild scenario that I'm like, it's that thing where you're like, oh, Oprah, get off Ozempic. Like, it sucks. It sounds like it's bad for you. It's like,
yeah.
It literally just stops you from eating.
Or yeah. Invest in Ozempic and make it available for everyone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure she already has.
She'd be doing that. I promise you.
Like, it'll be the new Weight Watchers. Yes. Yeah. Just on like shelves and stuff.
But yeah. We need some like communism elements to this whole thing. You know, like, it needs to be given to the masses. We need all of our fair share of Ozempic.
Aren't you worried though that it'll become like when they made painkillers available to the masses?
No. Yeah. No.
Not in the slightest.
I mean, opioids. Put it in our water, Ozempic. Honestly. Same, like, same. I mean, also when you look at Oprah, like looking back now, you're like, oh my God, she's gained weight. She's lost weight, blah, blah, blah. She's not a big person.
No, never has
like,
been.
Like, she's literally the average size of yes. women in this country and probably smaller than yeah. the average woman worldwide.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's actually so ridiculous that we're looking at a woman with a perfectly healthy weight and it's like, you need to eat food that has less than 100 calories and it's like printed on a packet and it's like in the, yeah. the weight loss section of the supermarket and it's priced ridiculously.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
So crazy.
I mean, was Weight Watchers in Germany?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure it was yeah.
pretty like worldwide. It's called WW now as well because it's like...
Because they're trying to move away from...
Well, because they kind of went broke and then they tried to start open up again.
Oh, but I more love a rebrand.
Yeah.
More of a wellness thing. Okay. There's a lot of great stuff about it's the like downfall of weight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel for Oprah where I'm like, if all your life you had just been like whittled down to your weight, of course you're just like on Ozempic, like fuck that. But I have such a funny feeling. I don't, Weight Watchers always brings up a funny, like triggering kind of weird thing. I don't know if any of you guys did this, but my mom used to take me to Weight Watchers meetings, not because I was on Weight Watchers or anything. I know that she was put on Weight Watchers when she was like 12 or 13.
And God.
Yeah, it became this like normalized thing. And it was like, because to be thin was to be healthy
yeah.
in spite of like, it didn't take into account like your natural body size and all that kind
Are
of stuff.
Are there meetings? I didn't know this.
Yeah, you get weighed in front of everyone and you get measured.
I thought like it was AA. Just like Jenny yeah. Craig or something like that where you get sent these like meals. Like, is there actual like you go and like you yeah. talk to people about it?
You don't get meals in Weight Watchers. It's just everything is broken down. You get a book.
And it's like a club.
And yeah, everything's yeah. broken down into okay. a point system. You get an X amount of points every day. I think it's 25 points.
Oh my God, it's like AA.
It fully is. And then you show up every week, you get weight, and that's supposed to be like accountability. Like, no one's gonna like kill you if you don't show up to a meeting and stuff like that. But it was like such a like pretty
How
much
old
everyone
were you?
On this well, I couldn't even tell you. Growing up in like the 90s and 2000s, your parents were just always on different diets. There's so many people I know who've like Whoa. Especially young girls, and you just go because especially my mom, when she was working, she needed to pick me up from school, go to Weight Watchers, go home. It wasn't her being like watch this. It was literally just a convenience thing. But it is like insane how much all the ideals and like I can still remember how much a fillet of fish was in points. I can remember like,
God,
like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
crystal. I can't remember people's fucking names that I need to say.
I know, it's so
but
true.
It's like, it's wild the stuff that stays. And I think Weight Watchers and just all those like weird diet things, I don't know.
And it is all rebranding because yeah. I used to like use this app to count my calories every day. And that had also like rebranded. I don't know how I saw it. I feel like I saw it on TikTok or somewhere.
Was it called MyFitnessPal?
Yes.
I had the same one.
Oh my God. I was addicted to MyFitnessPal.
Yes.
And I would just like log everything I ate. And now it has like a new name and new logo.
Do you reckon they got like sued or something happened?
Well, I think it just like kind of, we lean towards like body positivity. It kind yeah. of swings back and forth, right? Where we had like body positivity, Ozempic. like, you know, it's like Lizzo's on Ozempic.
Yeah, yeah.
And also Lizzo's canceled.
And Lizzo's a fat shamer.
Yeah. And it's like just going like back and forth, right? So
yeah.
Now it has like a new name, blah, blah. And I saw some TikTok that I reported where this girl was like doing what I eat in a day. And it was like an apple. And like it was so little food. I'm not even going to describe it because it's yeah. triggering. Yeah. But I was like, oh my God, report. And yeah, just like looking at her also mentioning all these things in her content.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Whoa. That was me 10 years ago.
It's insidious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's like what you said is so right, is that we were like, on this like wavelength of like celebrities and people like boldly claiming themselves. And because it used to be such a big thing about how much weight someone lost for a role. I remember Renee Zellweger, again, everything that's crystallized in my mind is that she had to gain weight for Bridget Jones, lose weight to play Roxy, gain weight again for Bridget Jones 2, and like all that kind of, and it was like that was the PR for the movie and stuff like that. And now all these actors and people in the media who were kind of accepting themselves or like sort of just more boldly stepping out and claiming their bodies and stuff like that, and now they're just on Ozempic, which isn't their fault. It's like, but it kind of just goes to show how like we were barely there. Like we all still, in spite of everything, we still have these like insecurities in spite of everything that we know.
If you could flick a switch, would you?
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of people probably say like, oh, I wouldn't because I love X or Y about myself. But then sometimes like technology gets to the point where it's like, oh, you can you know, have plastic surgery and change your nose. You can do these things that decades or, you know, centuries ago you could never do.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, you want to change that? You could.
And I think it's that thing where I would never personally be upset or offended individually with someone choosing to do. Like, I know that I would. If I had money for stuff, I'd probably change my appearance and stuff like that. But you can get upset at, like, the culture.
The culture fucking sucks.
Yeah. And I think, the whole Ozempic thing, it's sad. Anyway, what a downer.
Sorry about that.
No, but I wanted to talk about it as well. It just felt... Because I was sort of enjoying the side of that story about the idea of this sort of like secret society. The way that they were describing it was just so like Oprah has been banished. And like people were like putting up like... Simba is sent away from the like
100%
like off to the like what's the like grungy like area
Oh, that's
Brunswick.
Or like when Homer Simpson joins that men's society.
The Freemasons.
It's pretty funny.
Oh my god. What? Speaking of secret society and like conspiracies, can we fucking get into where the fuck is Kate Middleton?
Oh, my God. I mean, obviously, she got
a BBL.
Absolutely.
The timelines don't lie.
Prince William likes,
her and
likes
Drake,
a big booty.
We're in the same.
Allegedly.
Yeah. They got the same scars.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't really follow the royals, so when it all popped off and people on Twitter were like, oh my god, where is she? She hasn't been seen in 2 months. I was like, I mean, why would she be seen?
I wasn't. I mean, I'm saying this
with love.
Yeah, I'm saying this with love and also aware that I'm not like the royal correspondent as Jordan is. So like I'm not like super into the royal world, but I did go down the rabbit hole the other night on Reddit about this whole thing, and I just spent like hours, and I left that experience being like convinced that something very nefarious is going on.
Was your Glasgow Wonka experience.
I came out changed.
She's working there.
I dabbled into the unknown and I came out
knowing
different. Yes, I came out knowing, but I don't know what the fuck's going on. There are all these conspiracies about like either she is like genuinely really sick or some dark things about like possibly like Will has hurt her, or there's like domestic violence, or that they've separated, or that she's left him, or that she has had an affair with that royal that died, like that committed suicide just a few days ago.
What?
Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh my god, guys, there's a whole rabbit hole. So there's like royal guy, I don't know how he's connected.
Like probably a cousin.
Yeah, a cousin or something like
they're
that.
They're all linked.
Girl cousins.
Thank God she's a commoner. So she's
like not related.
Like was found shot on his like property like days after it happened sort of thing. And it's like a suspected suicide. But then like there are conspiracy theorists that are like he and Kate might have had a baby and that's what these abdominal surgeries were for. It was like her getting an abortion or something like that.
Whoa.
I'm not saying...
Alleged. But also...
It's not even that I believe this stuff. It's more that, like, there is a corner of the universe that are, like, full-on going down really extreme things. And, like, I know that the Spanish media is reporting that, like, she's in a coma and that something really bad happened to her, possibly in her relationship.
Oh, my God.
And there's all this kind of stuff. So what I find weird is that with those kind of really heinous theories floating around, it is in the Crown's interest to just put out anything that would show and like put all that to rest.
Yeah, like just go on Instagram Live, Kate. Yes. Yeah.
And like this is a woman that was made to take a glamour photo shoot 2 hours after giving birth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We saw Charles coming in and out of the hospital after his surgery recently. Megan and Harry couldn't get the paparazzi off them when they wanted to. And it's such a reveal that it's like when the Crown wants there to be privacy, they are absolutely able to have privacy, but no one has seen her. No one has seen the kids. No one has seen her parents in months. No one knows anything. And it's like, you can't tell me that there's not a single leak of like, you know, a friend, a family, nothing.
Friend.
There's not a skerrick going on for months. And it's proving how much the Crown absolutely was chasing after Megan. Because it's like, when they want to shut down the press, they can.
Yeah, it's like, if he wanted to, he would.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's Charles.
Yeah.
That's so funny as well, because Megan talks about, in that interview with Oprah, she talks about how she was cut off from, like, she wasn't really allowed to leave her house for, like, it was, like, nearly 9 months, except for outings and stuff like that. So they can, like, someone's got your passport. Like, they're not holding on to it. It's scary.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Something really weird is going on.
Yeah. Well, like, on three, let's all say what we think it is.
I want to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
One, two, three.
BBL.
Okay.
What did you say?
BBL.
BBL. I'm still on the BBL. Because remember, when she got married.
I bring you all these facts.
Her sister, Pip.
Yes. I remember everyone was obsessed with Pip's ass. Everyone was like, oh my God, Kate's sister's ass is so great. Yeah. She has a complex. She got the BBL. Something went wrong. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now she's just sitting on a donut.
I do have to say, the whole looking back again at like body stuff years and years ago, but Pip getting celebrated for having everyone was like a gorgeous big ass, and also everybody celebrating J-Lo's ass back in the day. Another two beautiful bumps, but to say that they are big was the biggest gaslighting of gorgeous black women's asses.
That is so true. Those were like not big asses.
It was the calling Renee Zellweger in Bridget Jones fat. When it was just like, what?
What are you talking about?
But it was like also she's tiny. Like, they're great bumps. They're beautiful bumps. Yeah. But it was like, I was like, I'm glad that we're finally celebrating big bumps as they rightfully
like,
are.
For real.
An
for
ass. Real. Not a bum, ass. But an
Yeah. Like you need to like jump to get into your jeans. Yeah, ass.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just mine is getting flatter by the day. I am trying. But yeah, I don't know. I hope she's left him. Isn't he like famously having an affair with somebody else?
Someone with a big butt.
I reckon it is a separation. I don't know if he's instigated it or she's instigated it or something like that. But I think what it is probably something like, give me privacy during this time or I will go fucking lid off about everything. Because it doesn't make sense to me why there's not like paparazzi unveiling stuff. And
he's like, around, like Will's doing stuff.
Yeah, he's like at the BAFTAs.
You know?
She might have just said like, if you're going to leave me or if I'm leaving you or whatever it is, just leave me the fuck alone during this time or I'm going all out.
I hope she's somewhere tropical.
Because the other thing to consider is that Mallorca. Charles is genuinely really sick. And, Will is about to be king at some point.
Yeah.
Possibly a lot sooner than anyone was anticipating. And, you know, some people theorize that it would be easier for him to divorce her now, if that's what he wants, before he's the king. And then there's, oh my God, guys, there's this really dark conspiracy that if you are the monarch, you cannot be like, I don't know like the terminology legally, but it's like you cannot be like tried, because in the UK, it's like the government is the crown. Like when you are...
Yeah, you're versing the crown.
You're versing the crown. Versus, but if you are the crown, you can't be like...
Crown versus crown.
Yeah, you can't actually be like criminally charged.
So he killed her.
So people are like, they're waiting for him to become regent before whatever heinous shit has gone on comes to light.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. Why would he kill her?
But even like going through a divorce.
No, but for real.
Yeah.
But his dad got divorced, no?
Yeah, that's true. But that was before he was king.
Yeah, true.
So they're thinking like maybe like he's like sort of getting it all done now.
Yeah.
Before it kicks in. I don't know. There's just so God. Much. Go down the Reddit rabbit hole.
Okay, God. Send me the link. Yeah.
I heard that Charles is coming to Australia at the end of the year, which I was like, oh.
It's getting Thanksgiving, Jonas Brothers.
I'm like, don't come. We're busy.
Imagine being Will's second wife, though. Like, if you, we've all seen how Camilla has been treated.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm all for it. Fuck her.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No. Have you guys seen the Princess Diana Facebook groups?
I feel like.
You should be into them.
But I'm in a lot of landlord groups.
I saw the one with the plate. Is that the one you're talking
about? Yeah. Like, they just post all this sort of shit. But there's like leakers from the group who are like posting the funnier stuff because it's like a closed group and it's meant for just diehard Die fans.
Yeah.
And one of them was like a post being like, please, this is just a PSA for the group. Please stop posting comments that you are going to go and masturbate. We don't need to know this information. Like, it's a recurring thing that seems to be happening. And also, there was this
that they're
post-
going to go and masturbate. Not that they're like, I'm coming right now. I was like, I'm about to go.
Yeah.
I'm
gonna go just so you're aware, I'll be back in 10. Shit posting.
But there was also this one of like, it was like a really shitty like clip art of like Diana's face against the non-binary pride flag being like, for all our non-binary supporters,
what?
Diana would have loved the LGBT.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
I mean, she would have. And she kind of paved the way for the, like, and for the gender fluid haircut.
Yeah. I didn't realize until I saw like a doco about how much she helped reduce like HIV stigma by going and visiting and actually like hugging and shaking the hands of HIV, like AIDS sufferers.
It's pretty
like,
incredible.
Up until that point, like, it was like, that was during the time where people misunderstood the disease and there was all this stigma, and that she just came right out and did that. She was genuinely a legend.
Yeah.
Well, she sort of started that whole, I mean, death to all royals, but she did start that kind of thing of charity work within the, because they used to like, I guess they maybe gave some money away here and there, but they would never be there in person. They would never.
Sorry.
She's calling from the grave.
Oh my God.
She has something
she's like,
to say.
Knock, knock. She's like, I have a generous donation for the Podgaze podcast.
We'll
for my
take
non-dinary list.
Yes.
But yeah, she did all that because like, she was told not to like shake hands. She was told not to do all this stuff. And she was like, oh, well, why would I go if I'm not going to like sit with people and talk to them? And so that kind of, and now that's like such a common thing. We see that all the time. But like, especially from royals, it just like wasn't the done thing.
Yeah. And possibly won't be again.
Yeah. Because I don't see Will doing Make-A-Wish things.
No.
Nah. I also would not think any child would want to see him.
Yeah.
I'm like, so sorry. Any
what
sick
a sad
person.
Wish that would be.
He'd be like, wow. Yeah. He'd be like, yeah, she got a BBL and then we did the worst.
Oh my God. Should we do our pop or flop for the week?
Yes.
I have a pop this week.
Ooh.
Did you guys see? I mean, I know that you haven't seen this. I don't even know why I'm pretending, but. Meg Thee Stallion presented an award at the Crunchyroll Anime Awards.
I haven't seen this.
I have not seen
that. I'm shocked. I'm so shocked. But she is famously a huge anime fan.
Legend.
And I think she probably like would have reached out to them and asked, like, can I be at this award ceremony? And she's like giddy presenting this award. She's like so excited and taking it so seriously in a really lovely way.
Yes.
And I feel like she's like a lot higher profile person than might have regularly been at this kind of event. So it was just so exciting to see her there. But she's just having a ball. And I love that in the face of like all this like, you know, beef with Nikki and all this fighting and scandals and all this kind of stuff, it's like she's not engaging in any of it. She's just going to a bloody anime award being like, I just want to present.
I love it.
I think I saw her outfit and she dressed like a character.
Yeah, she would have.
Like, exactly. Yeah. I have to find it and show you. It looks amazing. Yeah,
I
love
just,
it.
I will pop any like celebrity who just has no issue being like leaning into their genuine passions and like being cringe and being whatever. It's like, I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Speaking of cringe, I also have a pop.
Yes.
It's our queen, Gypsy Rose.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She's back on the gram. I mean, she's never left ever since she just gotten out. And she put together this montage of her family. But that aside, the intro, she's holding an acoustic guitar and strumming it like she's playing. But she's not. The video literally just has like a song added to it. And the fake guitar playing is just something I would have done when I was much younger.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's just like leaning into the cringe and the whimsy and the joy and doing a little family
she
compilations.
She lip-synced for her life on
and
that video.
She is. She's healing her inner Tumblr girl.
Yes.
She wasn't allowed to do it. She skipped like so many coming of age moments in her life.
And now she's just having them and good for her.
Yeah. Was that video dedicated to her dad?
It was.
What's his story? How does he fit into the whole thing?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of complicated.
Yeah.
And that's people, a big question.
People were coming for her for that. And she's like, well, I'm just trying to like appreciate my dad. Even if it wasn't perfect.
I mean, with the standard of one parent to the other, it's like he's going to look like a great father by
absolutely. And I think if you watch the doco, they got married very young, and I will, for lack of a better term, refer to him as naive.
Okay.
Like he's naive, and he also was like, I just believed whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What was her mom's name? Nikki or something? I can't remember.
Her name shall not be spoken.
Forget about it. I also have a pop. What a positive week.
Oh my God.
Love this. My pop is actually, it is from, I can't claim that I decided to watch this on my own. It's from another gay culture podcast. Las Culturistas suggested this, and I am so grateful that they did. So now I'm passing the baton on to you. Traders Australia season one. You have to go on to 10 Play to watch it.
Okay.
If you have Paramount Plus, go ahead. But who are you? but it's on, I think you can get it on Amazon, but you have to get like the extra subscription, but it's on 10 Play for free, and it's got to be. Have you ever watched Traders?
Charlie has.
I'm absolutely obsessed with this show.
Yes.
On the episode we had Scout Boxall, that was my part.
Yeah. Was it Traders Australia season one?
The Traders. Oh. I'm super into it.
Okay. It's so. Have you watched the Australian one?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I watched all versions of it.
I'm nearly finished, and I'm so excited. I've heard that season two is a bit of a flop.
Okay. Season one of Australia is the top. Around the world. It's amazing.
It's incredible.
It's so good. Season two is also really good, but is driven by a sociopath who is one of the traders. And so it's interesting in that respect, but the gameplay isn't as like diverse as in season one, where it's like genuinely anyone's game kind of feeling.
Oh my, I've had so many adrenaline rushes watching this, and it's become
thrilling.
While I'm waiting for new episodes of Love is Blind to drop, so good.
Well, 10 Play now has the US versions as well, which I've caught up with. And like the finale is happening next week. So I went back and watched the most recent season that has like Parvati and Sandra from Survivor. It has Peppermint from Drag Race. It has all these celebs.
So they're celebs. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. I just love it. I'm really into it. I love it. It's basically the game Werewolf, if you've ever played it. And I'm having the time of my life. And I kind of love that they're I'm excited to watch the celebrity one, but I also am loving the fact that these are just regular people.
Yeah.
Mm.
Regular fucking people.
Because there's no expectation. They can genuinely trick people, whereas someone like Sandra, who is a notoriously amazing Survivor player, people come in knowing what she's capable of, and so they have to kind of spend the whole time sort of like going against their expectation. And there's so many housewives from the Real Housewives franchises that are on the season as well. The people are kind of like, oh, well, you're a real housewife, so you're used to like scheming and drama and this kind of stuff. And they're like, that's an advantage in this game. And it's like,
Real Housewives, all they're good at is printing out tweets.
Although I will say one of the best traders I've seen in any franchise was a Real Housewife in this season of the US.
Oh my God, don't give it away.
Oh, it's keep it a secret.
I mean, it's not a secret.
Is it not?
It's not a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler, okay.
But Phaedra Parks from Real Housewives of Atlanta, I think.
Yes. Ooh. I think she's the one who also tried to convince people that her due date was at 6 months in a pregnancy because she didn't want to admit to people she got pregnant before her wedding.
Oh my God. That sounds funny.
About right. Yeah. She's so sleuthy. She's fantastic television. And she doesn't hold back either. Like, she just says shit. She was like, you're really unlikable. Like, she just says that.
Oh,
she's like, you need to work on your like stag face. You need to like be a nicer person.
Oh my God, incredible.
Love.
I love it. Great.
We love it. You'll love it. Everyone loves it.
Pop gaze.
Yeah. Triple pop, we did it. What an upbeat week.
Popping our pussies.
All right.
Bye-bye. We'll see you guys.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Pop Gaze Pod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.